Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dominion Podcast. I've been gone for a couple weeks, actually 2 weeks, and it's because I just had my first son. His name is Matthias Malachi Mesa, me and my wife. That's why we have not been on the podcast or uploading it. But now I'm back at you for every Thursday uploading the Dominion Podcast, and we're going to be talking about some really awesome topics today, starting with discipline. And one of the biggest things is I try to be a very disciplined person, and I'm kind of like a workaholic. So one of the things when Matthias was born, I said during my paternity leave, I will not work. I will not touch work. I will not go into work. I will rest. I will hang out with my son and my wife. And I was disciplined enough to actually do it. I was able to accomplish it. So I'm really happy about that. But without further ado, let's get started with this week's Dominion Podcast. All right. So while my wife is still on maternity leave, because coming up soon, we're going to be talking about, actually next week, we're going to be talking about how to find a spouse or what to look for in interest in dating someone. But this week, I was thinking to myself, who could I have that I know is an extremely disciplined person to be on the podcast with me? Who do I know that without a shadow of a doubt, I could say holds and exercises a lot of discipline in their life? I thought none other than my brother, my big brother, Nathan Mesa. So I have Nathan Mesa here today with us.
Hello, everybody. What's going on?
All right. And so Nate is going to be having a conversation with me today on discipline, because as you see, as we get started today, we have it broken down into a few categories of exercising discipline and where some areas we can exercise discipline. Because to me, you can look like a fantastic, incredible bodybuilder, but if your kids aren't happy, how disciplined are you? You could spend 5 hours in the gym, but your family's not put together, your family's not happy, your spouse isn't doing well, or you may have the most successful business in the world. You could be pulling in a $5 million salary, but your wife every night imagines her life to be different in terms of love. Like, then to me, you're not really a full-fledged, all-around disciplined individual. And so that's what I wanted to talk about today, is the well-rounded, disciplined individual. And Nathan is one of those people that I would say is very well-rounded in his discipline. And so some of the topics we're going to talk about right now and today are going to be discipline in your family, discipline in your finances, discipline in your workplace, discipline in your passions. So those are kind of just some of the topics we're going to talk to today so far. But first, we will kick it off. I just want Nathan's two cents first. Nathan, tell me, why do you think it's even important to be a disciplined individual? And what does that mean to you?
Sure. I think discipline for me personally, it just provides a structure in your life that allows you to be the best person that you can, both whether it's in your spiritual walk, whether it's as a father, as a husband, within the workplace. And so, you know, I really look at discipline as being intentional. Mm-hmm. In your life. And so when you're disciplined, you're intentional to plan and prepare. It's really taking a look at what areas that you want to succeed in. And so by no means am I perfect in any way, but I think I've been very intentional on where I am good, where I believe I'm good at being disciplined. And so for me overall, I think I look at discipline in my own life is being intentional, having the preparation and the proper planning. So when it comes to some of the areas that we'll talk about, it's, to me, discipline doesn't happen by accident.
Yeah.
And yep. So if you want to be a disciplined person, then it takes work.
Yeah, I agree. I would echo that as we talk about this conversation on discipline. What does that look like? What's important? Really, at the end of the day, if there is anybody, I would reckon 99% of people, if is there anyone that you look up to, if there's anyone that you aspire to be, 100%, wherever that thing is that you look up to in their life, it's they have discipline. That is what drives it. That is what confines them. That is what makes them who they are. It's been said, from Warren Buffett to Steve Jobs to whoever else that you may look up to, Richard Branson, to even people in the church world, Stephen Furtick, Craig Rochelle. I mean, you're talking about people who have so much discipline in their life. Right. They make their yeses their yeses, their no's, and that is what matters right to them, is that discipline. Even going from our dad, I think the reason why, because even our other brother, Caleb, like all three of us, though our disciplines may be emphasis may be different, we're all very, like, very disciplined people. And it's something we learned from our dad, who was a professional triathlete. He was an athlete. He's always ran marathons. Today, everybody knows he's a biker. He does not miss his biking. He does not miss walking his dogs. He does not miss his prayer time. Even growing up as a kid, every morning I could count on when my mom would get me ready for school, I could hear the whispers of my dad from his office praying for all of us. And I could not count on a day growing up where I did not hear that coming from my dad's office.
Absolutely.
Or our dad's office.
Right.
So it was drilled into us at a very young age that whatever we do in life, make it be something that you're actually going to accomplish and be disciplined about. Yeah. Don't have one foot in, don't have one foot out. So that's what it's all about. I don't know what your passion is. I don't know what God has called you to. You may be driving a truck right now. You may be working at Target right now. But whatever it is, be the most disciplined person in what it is that you're doing, what God has trusted you with right now. And so that's what just I believe what it is all of us have been called to discipline. But I think there are some foundations that you should never, ever waver on. And that is the discipline of family, finances, and your faith. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today is family, finances, and faith. And finances would include your occupation, your purpose, what God has called to. Your faith would include what it is that you do with God, how you have your relationship with Him, your reading of the Word, prayer, all those type of things. And then obviously the one we're going to kick off right now is disciplines in the family, which to me, you know, I think everything wavers on the discipline of the family. It can either make you or break you. So that's the one I want to jump in first, because I think Nathan is an absolute professional being a disciplined family man. Because if there's anyone that I know that will stop on the drop of the dime for his kids, for his wife, who will tell you, no, you'll be in the middle. Right now, he even told me, he said, hey, this podcast has to end by a certain time because I have dinner with my wife and sons. And he'll mean it. If this podcast is not done, he will leave in the middle of it for me to finish on my own so that he can be disciplined to go home, because he told his wife he was going to be home at a certain time. To me, that is the thing that I look up to in people. So that is what we're going to kick off first today. Let's talk about the disciplines in the family. All right. So here's where we're going to get started with here, talking about disciplines in the family. One of the things that we're going to talk is very transparently and hopefully very honestly. So there are some things that Nathan is really good at that I'm not really good at, that are much more of a challenge for me. And then vice versa, there are things that are very easy for me that are more of a challenge for him. And so I kind of take after my dad in the sense of the family disciplines are much more harder to us because we are absolute workaholics. Like, we love to work. I think I would even take the cake on my dad on some things that I'm very obsessive over work. And there are times that I will overlook my family time. And so I've created a boundary of really open accountability with my wife, who can call me out at any point without me being offended and say, Adam, you've been working too much. Time to put a pause. Time to do this. Time to do that. So we're going to get to that, though. So first, I wanted to jump off with somebody who is much better than it at me. And I think I've gotten really good at it, too. But it's the only reason why I'm getting at it is because I've learned from him. And Nathan has taught me a lot on how to be a great family man and how to love your family well. And so I'm going to just pass it off to Nathan first to start giving us some really, what I really wanted to do for this podcast is get really practical for everybody, share some things, some disciplines that you could walk away with right now and say, that is what I'm going to start doing today. No, not theory, not opinion, but saying, hey, that sounds like that works for them. I'm going to give that a try for my family. And it's not gender related. It's gender neutral. No matter where you're at on the spectrum, husband or wife, you could start applying these things today. So Nathan, share with some things. Number one, on why you have a conviction, because most anyone who knows you well knows your greatest conviction in life is your family. Mm-hmm. And that might come from the fact that we grew up in a really fast growing church and yeah. Our dad was really busy. And though he was around four things, he really was busy. Right. And the church had him a lot of the time. And so I know as we've gotten older, our conviction was, though we have the same calling as our dad, we don't necessarily have the same we don't have to really do what he had to do right. To grow the ministry to where it's at. It's a new type of burden, but it's not the same burden. Sure. So we said, you know what? Our families aren't going to take a hit And I know you have been very conscious about that. So just share with us a little bit on that.
Sure. Well, I think, as you said, you know, growing up, obviously we had very present parents, and we lived a very blessed life in a very godly household and family. But as our father labored in the kingdom to build this church, there was a lot of time that he wasn't there. And I think so growing up in that, there was obviously things that we saw, that I saw, that I wanted to learn from when I had a family. And so when my firstborn son came, Ezra, he'll be four this fall, you know, it was really a wake-up call for me on how I wanted, before we even had him, Sanaz and I, my wife, really talked about what were some of the things that we wanted in place as a family. So conversation was already happening, obviously, well before we even got married, then as we got married, and even before we had kids. So I think part of being disciplined is, like I said, it's being intentional, it's preparation, and it's planning. And for me personally, in all areas of my life that I try to be disciplined in, for me, it's really setting boundaries. Mm-hmm. I think when you establish boundaries in your life, in whatever area that you're trying to be well disciplined on, what you're doing is you are protecting what you are trying to care about and what you value. So for me, family was important. So I had to learn to set boundaries very early on. Boundaries, what does that mean? It's, to me, it's basically learning when to say yes and when to say no. And realizing to say no and to turn something away, whether it be a dinner or a commitment, is not necessarily a negative thing. And if I articulate it right, then hopefully on that other side, then they respect my decision because of it. Because at the end of the day, I'm making that decision based on setting a boundary to protect my family and mm-hmm. what I love and my discipline for that. And I think so for me in setting those boundaries, if whatever area in your life that you're trying to discipline, if something is trying to take away or eat away at that discipline, then oftentimes for me, there's a boundary that needs to be set up or put in place. So practically very early on, what Sanaz and I did was we began to discuss what my literal work week would look like. Being in ministry, obviously we're here for services a lot. We get quote unquote on call a lot if we have to step in for prayer or a visit. And so for me, I had to establish what evenings that I knew that I would be home by, the commitment of that time, because I wanted my commitment to my wife, most importantly, but also to my children. I wanted to stay true to my word in that sense. Mm-hmm. So for me, Monday is my day off. There's absolutely rarely will I interact for work on Monday. I literally, and you know this, mm-hmm. I turn my emails physically off on Monday. And that's just a practical way that I do to show my wife and my family that I'm present. So you can get me 6 days out of the week, but that Monday, it's off. I'm offline. I'm yeah. present with my family. I'm at Victoria Gardens. I'm at Cheesecake Factory enjoying my wife and my kids. And so that's kind of a practical thing we do. Also, we established every year in the beginning of the year, we established kind of what time off or vacations that we're going to take throughout that year if we're capable to do it. And so I take a look at what vacations I'm taking with just my wife. And then I take a look at what trips or experiences I'm going to do with my children and my family. And so I believe, again, in setting that boundary, it's prioritizing what's important to me. So time with my wife is important, as well as time with my children and time with my family. And I think all that, when you make those intentional decisions in your life and create those boundaries, for me, what it's allowed me to do, it allows me to be a present father. It allows me to be a present father during the week, during the month. It allows me to be present during when Ezra's at school and I get invited to attend something, I'm able to go. Why? Because it's important to me. Areas where my father may have not been able to be in my life because he was building the church, I'm learning from that to say, well, here's the areas that I do want to be involved in Ezra's mm-hmm. life as a child. It allows me to create memories with my children. I have a lot of memories, you know, with mom and dad and with you and Caleb and our family. And so that's important to me. So because that was important to me as a child, it stayed with me through my adolescence and through an adult. So creating those memories with my children are just as important today. Creating those boundaries, you know, within the family allows me to give attention to my wife when she needs it. So when I'm home by a certain time, it allows me, I take pride in putting Ezra to bed at night. I take pride in reading his book to him every night that he asks. I take pride in going and getting him every morning. The days that I could let Sanaz sleep in, I will go and I'll get Ezra. I'll get the baby. We'll go to the living room and we will watch Peppa Pig or Mickey Mouse Club. And I enjoy it wholeheartedly because I'm present in that moment because I want to establish those memories. I want Ezra to grow up knowing that, wow, my dad was involved in my life. My dad was present. My dad was picked me up. I get the privilege of, because he goes to daycare at the church, of taking him to school every day. So we have our 15 minutes in the car. And I remember growing up when dad would take me to high school. Yeah. To Edowanda High.
And that was one of his disciplines. He knew he was so busy, but he said, I will never let anyone take you guys to school except for me. Absolutely. That's one thing I will be disciplined
in. And I value that, you know, until we were able to drive, he was the one taking us to school, whether it was us, me and Caleb, or you at Rancho High or even junior high. And so I value that. So now it's kind of reliving that with my own son. So we pray, he knows daddy's going to go get coffee and we make our way to church. I take him to daycare and, you know, and then I come to the office and start my day. But I take pride in that. I take pride in those times and being able to give him that attention. And so overall, I think for me in setting a family discipline, it comes from areas that I've experienced in my own childhood that I may want to do better at within my own family. It also comes from a passion that I have and a love that I have for my wife and for my children. And in doing so, really establishing those boundaries that allows me to protect them because they are a value and an asset to me.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and we'll move on to the next topic because I really, if you ask me how do even me as Pastor Adam, how do I do family? There's not much I can add to it because I think one of the most mature things you could do at life is realize where you lack, find someone who is better at that than you, and then just steal the daylights out of everything that they do. And on this topic, I really can't say much more because I do exactly the same thing. And it's not because I've established that conviction on my own. It's because I know that that's where I lack. Not because I don't care for my family. And, you know, Nathan can speak on behalf of that. Knows I absolutely adore my wife. I love my wife. I love my son. But there's a certain side of my brain that is not the first thing that I think of. It is the thing that drives everything in my life. It fuels everything. But, you know, when somebody says, I'm going to go get some rest, they think of unplugging, going to an island and reading a magazine. When I say, I'm going to go get some rest, I'm thinking, let's go start a company. Mm-hmm. Let's go, you know, do this or that. Like, to me, work is rest, because that is what I find to be enjoyable and relaxing. And Nathan's on the island. So I've been transparent enough, and most people aren't transparent. That's why I don't think we're able to learn from people, is transparent enough to say, Nathan, this is not the first thing I think of. And it is the first thing that you think of. And you've put really good systems in place in your life when it comes to your disciplined areas in life. And I'm sure in the next topic, Nathan may share some things he's probably looked at in my life or something like that. But in this area, I've looked at it. I said, man, that works for you. Here's some things that may not work for me, but overall, I'm going to steal everything. So what Nathan does is he does dedicated one-on-one vacations with just his wife. That is something that me and Ashley have adopted right away, is we go on dates. We go on vacations, just the two of us. Now that we have a son, we've already planned for next year. We're going on a cruise with our son. And then we're also going on another vacation with just me and her, because Nathan has taught me once kids come, the monotony can come, the day-to-day can come, the always doing things with your kids can come. And it's so important to continue to date your wife. And so he'll even tell us, I mean, he's had kids a lot longer than us. So he'll text us and say, hey, it's time for me and Sonaz to have a date night. Would you and Ashley like to join us and do a double date? We're going to bring a sitter. And he goes, because it's gone too long. And his version of going too long is like 2 weeks. You know, like the average person, you may be listening to this right now and you say, it's been 2 years since I've gone on a one day getaway. Where was it? We were somewhere in a wedding, I think last year, and somebody said it was their first time on vacation in like 8 years since they've had their kid. They didn't even like, they just been in the grind of family. And I just thought to myself, like, man, you know, not only do I want to create those memories for my kids, but I also want me and my wife, when they turn 18, that she and I have continued to date each other for that long. Absolutely. So I've learned that those are some of the things that have stuck out to me that I've learned from Nathan, the way that he loves his wife and dates his wife. And I have duplicated the same way in my life. And then also the way that he adores his children and elevates his children. I mean, everything that he does is in context of his sons, and his greatest pride is his dad saying, "Daddy, I love you." And, I've learned that that's the place I want to get to, because easily my mind can go, oh, my greatest accomplishment is the fact that, you know, I can retire by 40 or whatever, whatever. But really, you know, your greatest accomplishment, especially according to scripture, is the way that your wife speaks about you. That's what Proverbs 31 says, is the wife speaks well of her husband. That's the greatest accomplishment that you can have in your life, that your wife speaks highly of you, and then also that your kids honor you. And that your kids love you. And I think for us, we've learned so much from our parents that there's a reason why I think that we're a family in ministry doing well working together, mm-hmm. because our parents have set a great example of communication and discipline and accountability. And those are things that we welcome in our marriage and our families. My dad allows us as sons to correct him any day of the week. And the same way that I think we will learn as our kids get older, that they can come and keep us accountable any day of the week and say, you know what, Dad, I don't like the way you've been distant here. I don't like the way you've been talking to Mom over here. And we will welcome that because we've had an example of parents who have welcomed that. Our parents actually will let us sit them down and say, hey, this is where we think you guys should improve in your marriage as their kids. And they receive it and work on it. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
And I think that as we are adults now and they do receive that correction or whatever it may be that we bring up to them, I think it's because we have shown honor and respect to them as adults. And so especially Pastor Diego, you know, he's in a position to hear us and receive to us because we've always shown honor to him. Mm-hmm. He's not only our father, he's our boss, he is our pastor. And so because of that, he respects us, but there's a role that we had to play and that was honor and respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this because I'll be transparent. Here's an area that I struggle in that I think you have a great discipline in.
Okay.
So if you could kind of talk about this, because I think a lot of us, obviously, it's what God desires of us. And so for me, I've struggled with that balance of being public as a pastor, but also what do I keep private? You know, how do I protect my family? And so with that, I struggled in the area of maybe community or koinonia. Mm-hmm. And I think you are highly disciplined in that area and are a great example because you live by your word. And so community, friendships, you take very serious and highly. So what are some areas that you could, that you look at that as to how you set disciplines there and why that is important to you and kind of how you can help people out, especially, you know, truthfully areas like me where I may struggle in.
Yeah, definitely. So I think one of the biggest things is when I look at the Bible, I think community is what kind of hinges your faith on. I mean, when you read Acts and then you read Corinthians and you read all these other things, the Apostle Paul is writing to communities and he's giving us advice on communities. He's giving us advice on and scripture on how to love one another in community, what to do when somebody does you wrong, what to do when you're hurt, what to do when you're offended, what to do when you're weak. A lot of it always deals with family and community and friendship and all that other type of thing. So as I've studied the Bible, I've realized if God thinks that it's really important to do life with people, then I should probably do the same. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and we, you know, we're having a very transparent conversation. I mean, we would know, you know, growing up as a pastor's kid can be so lonely. Our parents were very disciplined, even in the fact that they were disciplined that, you know, nobody was going to taint their kids. So we were like never allowed to do anything. So I grew up with everybody had all these friends and I didn't necessarily ever have true friendships because times were just busy. And my parents were just like the friends that you had in school parent, you know, your parents are like, I don't really feel comfortable with you hanging out with them. So you're kind of like, man, I've never, you kind of grow up like who is my closest friend? Who is my true friend? So as I got older, I realized, you know, I'm going to make a conscious effort at developing relationships and friendships. And that's just what it is for me. So what I've done is I build a list. So in my notes of my phone, I build a list of people that genuinely I want to build relationship with. So in my notes section of my phone, there are people's names that I frequently visit. And there are, unfortunately, sometimes names that you have to delete in your notes who, just because of time or just because of seasons, they're no longer in your life anymore. And so, you know, sometimes you got to take people out of your notes. But what I do is I visit that very often. And I think, when was the last time I reached out to them? When was the last time I hung out with them? When was the last time I loved on them? Because those are people that I really want to desire a relationship after. That's who I feel like God has placed on my heart. So I'm very intentional. What I do is I become intentional. I just don't think, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves with people is when they say we should hang out sometime. And I'm like, what the heck does that mean? Like, tomorrow, right? Next week, next Friday. So what I try to do is when I reach out to somebody, I say, hey, what are you doing next Friday at 1 o'clock? I would love to go to lunch at Cheesecake Factory.
It's good.
I mean, just think of how many times you talk to someone and say, we should do lunch next week. And then next week comes and it's like, oh, well, I was waiting for you to contact me, or vice versa. And then you're like, well, where do you want to go to lunch? I don't know. Where do you want to go to lunch? Instead, I'm just like, let's exit all of that out of the conversation. Hey, here's where I'm thinking. Let's go to lunch. Here's the day. Here's the time that I'm available. If you're not, you come back at me with a physical day, a physical time. And for a lot of people, that throws them off. They're like, wait, I thought we're supposed to go back and forth for a while. Yeah. Or I thought when you said let's hang out that you meant like, not really.
Yeah.
You were just being kind. And to me, that's one of the biggest things is I mean what I say. So if I tell you, hey, let's do lunch, I want to hang out with you, I want to do lunch and I want to hang out with you. I'm not just saying that because it's kind. I'm not just saying it because it's polite. I'm saying that because I genuinely desire a relationship with you. And so what I've done is I've just set conscious examples. And then number next, because I don't even know what number I was on, was I also try to be that person's biggest cheerleader in life. So I'm not envious of anybody. So somebody comes to me. And I think a lot of friendships end up ruining and falling because people become envious of each other. They become jealous. They become all these other type of things. So when I have a friendship, if they're talking about doing something in life, like I want them to genuinely succeed. I want them to win at life. I'm very authentic in that way. And I'm going to check up on them. So if they say, hey, Adam, I got a big business meeting next week, Thursday. Can you be in prayer for me? I don't just, oh yeah, I'm going to pray for you. And like, not do it.
Yeah.
So what I do, if someone asks me something, I set a reminder in my phone right away, or I set an alarm in my phone right away. So if there's someone that came in my mind, let's just say like Jeremiah came in my mind, I'd go to my phone and I'd say, hey Siri, can you set alarm tomorrow at 11 o'clock to text Jeremiah and check up on him? Because I'm just so fast paced, I will forget about it. So I hold myself accountable even to my phone. And so I just think there are some things you could do in disciplines with koinonia and community. That's what we call it at our church, is koinonia, because it's what the Bible kind of mentions in Acts. And so I just think it's really important to do life with people, especially in your marriage. It's always good to have other outside voices, outside perspective. There are so many times that I have had conversations with couples that have been in so many arguments. And then me and my wife, not that me and my wife are special or have all this wisdom, but just because we heard their problem and my wife goes, well, I mean, Adam does that too, but here's how he responds when he does that. And I'm okay with it. And then that person goes, oh, wow. They like see a whole nother side of the conversation, of the equation. How have I been getting mad over that? If we just changed it like this. Well, the only thing that changed was, is they welcomed people in their life to just share and talk.
That's good.
So that's why I think koinonia is so important, because oftentimes we're one of two things to ourselves. We're either our harshest critics or we're our biggest fans. Mm-hmm. And both are very, very bad places to be at in life. You always need that accountability and that encouragement. You always need a friend that tells you when you feel low that you're killing the game. And then you also need a friend that when you're on the highest of the mountains that they still say, hey, remember, you're graced by God. God has favored you. This ain't you. And you're like, yeah, that's right. So it holds you accountable at all times. So that was kind of a tangent discipline point. But next I want to jump. It kind of deals with the friendship, the family. But next is, and this is kind of where we'll dial down the podcast because don't want to make it too long. But talking about work discipline, it's something that I think is very important, especially for if there's like a millennial listening to this, is I think one of the things that we lack today is drive and work ethic. And I think that the only reason why I'm where I'm at in life at maybe a young age is because I just have the belief that nobody is going to beat me at my work ethic. And I wake up every day thinking that and striving after that. So next, let's go have a conversation and kind of wind this down with the last topic on work disciplines. All right, Nathan. So why don't you go ahead, start sharing with us on some work disciplines? Because some one of the things that I could say about you, because we work together, we're side by side. I know that there are some things that you are very disciplined at in your work, which you can share on. And then there are some other things that I'm very disciplined when it comes into workplace and stuff like that. So share first. Why don't you just go into where you think on work that you're disciplined and how you tend to handle those disciplines and keep them consistent.
Sure. Well, like I said, you know, in pretty much every area. So when I approach my work discipline, I believe I'm very intentional about my work. And so again, everything pretty much as best as I can do is planned and prepared for. And so I'm blessed to have support and assistance. So I meet with her once a week and I plan out my week. I plan out my schedule as best as I can because I want to be sure whoever I need to meet with, whatever meetings need to take place, that I'm as present as I can be. So I think having the discipline within the workplace allows you to be fully present. It allows you to respect the organization that you're working for, the job that you're working for. Obviously, with what we do, we believe this as a staff, that, and we try to make sure that those that come on staff understand that what we do is not a profession. It's truly a calling. And so because it is a calling, I want to be sure that not only am I honoring the house of Abundant Living, not only am I honoring Pastor Diego, but I'm honoring God. And so I think when you have your priorities in order, it allows you to have a greater discipline. And so for me in the workplace, just some practical things, I like to be as detailed as I can when it comes to communication. So I pride myself in explaining as detailed as I can, in communicating via email or through a presentation, whether it be to staff. Yeah. And so I think being detailed, giving the information that needs to be known, made aware to everyone.
Yeah.
So what that looks like, I'm also as thorough as I can be, you know, was like that in school and it's transferred on into part of my discipline here in the workplace. So oftentimes there's no doubt in terms of a direction or what's expected because I am detailed and I'm thorough. And so that's a discipline in the workplace, for me. Little things like, coming to work on time is a discipline for me. Mm-hmm. So, but even before my son started going to daycare, I was at work by 8:45 a.m. Nothing's changed since then. So I take mm-hmm. Ezra to school. I'm at my desk. I'm settled in by 9 o'clock and I'm ready to start my day. And so coming to work on time is because I respect what I do and I respect mm-hmm. the organization. I respect the church. Also, for me, it's being able to be organized. And so for me, a discipline in the workplace is I take pride or trying to be as organized as possible. So that, again, that comes down to my schedule, that comes down to meeting times, that comes down with what I am to the task list that I'm working on that mm-hmm. week. And so I set those tasks before me at the beginning of every week, and I have goals that I strive to achieve even weekly. Yeah. Within the workplace. And then I think the last thing for me is within discipline within the workplace is really striving to finish what I start. Mm-hmm. So if I have a proposal that needs to be done, it's not something that I'm dragging on for weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
I'm taking the time to prepare for it. And if it's something that has to get turned into Pastor Diego, I'm spending that proper time in developing that. So with detail and with follow through, because I've set the preparation and the discipline to set the time to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so those are some of the things that I'd say are really good that you can apply in your workplace setting and things like that, that are absolutely necessary. And it's some of those things that I've looked up to in Nathan that I've said, man, he's really disciplined in his follow through. He's disciplined in his meeting. He doesn't waste time, all those other type of things that I think are absolutely necessary. Then there's the, you know, not the opposite side of the coin. There's the other pathway as well, which is the pathway that I have. And, they're the same exact pathways. I just view them differently in my drive. And I would sum it this. I would say discipline to me is summed up in this way. It's stress and conviction. And what I mean by that is there's this commonly known thing. It's called EU stress. It's known as In order for you to accomplish something in life, stress is absolutely essential because it gets the job done. For example, when you go to the gym, if you're going to gain muscle or lose weight, there's something you have to do in order to do that. You have to stress your body. That's the only way you're going to gain muscle. Lifting weights and stressing your muscle is the only way that it will gain muscle. You cannot do it any other way. I know we see in Instagram ads and others that there are other ways to lose weight. Just take this pill. Just use this machine on your abs and you'll have abs. But that is not stressing your body out. Right. EU stress right. is essential to growing and developing. So for me, I literally thrive off of stress. I thrive off of stress. Now, there's bad stress too. That's the stress that will get, like Nathan, your high blood pressure up. That is ones that make you go on medical leave and all those other type of things. That is more of the emotional stress. That's the stress of outside people and things. But then there is workplace goal stress. This is the goal. I'm going to stress over it. It's called EU stress. It's just like what bodybuilders do. To me, I live in that life of EU stress. I don't really know what to do when I'm not stressed. I don't know what to do when I don't have something on the horizon. It's what drives me crazy when I'm like, I don't know what's next. What can I do? When I accomplish a task, I'm like, what's the next task? Because I love that stress. I also am highly driven in conviction within the stress. So for example, if I'm a person that desires wealth, which me being Adam, I am a person that desires my family to be comfortable in life. I do not want money to be a worry for my family. I believe that God can bless our hands and our labor if we focus on Him. So me, I'm very convicted in the sense of I say that I desire money, but I also say that I'm a Christian and I believe in God's church. Well, if that is true, then my conviction needs to be that if I desire wealth, I also need to desire to be a big giver in my church. Mm-hmm. It needs to be a discipline.
Right.
If I can't be a disciplined giver, why would God even trust me with money? Who am I? Like, if He can't trust me with $100 a month that I'd even give $10 or whatever it is that God has put on your heart, why would He give me $1 million? That would be selfish because that would mean that I'm using it all on my own. I've talked to people all the time. Oh yeah, I'll give to an orphanage when I make X amount. Well, that orphanage could use $10 of your money. It doesn't need to be $100 million. They could use $20 if you gave it to them. They would use it. So for me, I'm very convicted. And that's one of the things, like this year, I disciplined myself. I said, you know what? I'm going to be a top giver in my church. Not only am I going to be a top giver in my church, I'm going to be the youngest top giver in my church's history. And we're just about almost 25 years old right now. I'm on trajectory this year to be the youngest top giver in our church's history. And on top of that, we just recently did a giving campaign where we were giving to build an orphanage in a third world country. And I was one of the top five givers in that. And I don't say that to be boastful or anything, but what I do is I say that to challenge you. That if you want God to do something big in your life, then set a God plan and be disciplined to it of what you're going to do for God. And I will guarantee you that when you do that, you are going to see so much increase in your life. And I'm a testament of that. There was one day where I recently, a couple months ago, wrote a check out to the church because I had done a bunch of other, because I have multiple streams of income. I believe that's what God has blessed me with, is the desire to work, and I'm good at it. And when I put my hands to labor, He blesses it. And so I sent, you know, through our push pay thing, I sent a sizable gift, and literally within an hour, someone that I had done a job for said, "You've just been doing such a stellar job. We wanted to pay you something extra." And it was literally exactly what I had just given. And so I saw what God was showing me. He said, "Adam, when you go big, I'm going to do big for your life." And for me, it may not even mean financially. It may just mean that my wife is happy, which that would be a blessing, because she is right now. We are doing fantastic. Maybe that my son is healthy. That is what He's going to bless me in. It doesn't always have to be money. I just want God to be blessing my life, my family, our marriage, the health. And I would do whatever it takes to be in that area. So I'm very convicted. I make sure that if I have goals, check yourself, Adam. Are they selfish? Are they about you? Are they about your pocket, your money, your blessing? If it is, it's time to make some changes and put a God dream on it.
That's good.
And put Him vision. And then the other thing is in the sense of the stress, I try to just be a really disciplined individual in the fact of I have a can-do attitude, in the sense of I do not wait or rely on anyone else to give me discipline or blessing. If I believe that God has put something on my heart, I work so hard at mastering that thing. I sit here today. I'm a graphic designer. I've made tons of t-shirts. I've sold tons of t-shirts that have made a lot of money working for other clients and other people, even myself. I've made videos for people. I've made websites for companies and people. I have a social digital advertising company. All of those things I have taught myself. Nobody has taught me how to film, mm-hmm. except for in high school. Shout out to Mr. Cataldo. He taught me the essence of film. But after that, when DSLRs and all that came out, I lived on YouTube. When it came to graphic design, nobody taught me Photoshop. I taught myself. Well, somebody did. YouTube did. I don't really know what their names are, but I didn't rely on anyone. I didn't say, hey, I have a vision for this, but I'm waiting on a graphic artist. I have a vision for this, but I'm waiting for a web designer. I got a vision for this, but I'm waiting on for someone to hand this to me. And I also want it for free because I'm just starting out. Now, nothing is stopping you. Think about how often you listen to music in a day. Do you listen to music for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? Why don't you spend that time on the internet researching and becoming better at it that God has put on your heart? Why don't you spend that time practicing and designing? When I was in college and I wanted to learn about investing, there was a class that was optional in college, and it was going to come out to, like, you know how classes are credits and they cost money. They were $1,000. Instead of paying for that class, what I did is I put $1,000 on E-Trade and I lost it all just to learn how does the stock market work. So instead, I didn't take that $1,300 elective class. I opted and I said, you know what, Adam, I'm going to use $1,000 in college. I'm going to put stocks in E-Trade and I'm going to learn how the stock market works. And you know what? I learned that I didn't know the stock market and I lost all the money. But now today, I know how the stock market works because I lost that money. I had buy-in. Yeah. I didn't learn it in school. I had something actually riding on this thing. I taught myself how to do it. So to me, every single day I wake up, I know that there are places where I am absolutely wasting my time. And I say, Adam, whatever that time is, erase it and get better at it, that what God has called you to do. And so I have spent hours on Facebook with their marketing division, learning how to be a better marketer. I have taken $2,000 marketing classes with third parties to be a better digital marketing advertiser. I have set up meetings. One time I had a friend who said, you know what? I have a friend that works at Facebook. He's the head of advertising. I told him, if I fly to you, if I pay the ticket, fly to you, I put up my own stay, could you set up one lunch where I meet with him and I learn what it is that he knows? And I took a flight. I set myself up there and I learned a lot. And so what it is it's investing in yourself. I could have bought two new pairs of Jordans for the cost of one flight to San Francisco to meet with one person at Facebook. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Like, there's somebody right now who just bought a pair of consignment Yeezys for $600, and they could have spent that on an airplane flight to learn something new that they never had before. And to me, that's where I live in conviction. Yes. I always am in measuring to that type of thing. And I think that's why you and I maybe are so young, but you can see that in our lives, that God has his hand in our life. And I don't think he has his hand in our life just because we're more favored than anyone else. I don't think I'm more special than anyone listening to this podcast. But what I do know is, I would challenge you, you can't outwork me. You can't out-conviction me. You can't out-stress me, because every day that I wake up, I evaluate, where am I wasting time at?
Yeah.
And I'd encourage you to do the same. If you do those things, I believe that you're going to see God multiply in your life. People always come to me and say, hey, how should I get a foot in the door in ministry? I think I'm called to ministry. And I tell them, if they're single, I say, every single day that the church will let you be on the foot, on your feet on the campus, be there. Be there. If you have a passion to be in real estate and you're young, wake up every single day and bring an owner of a real estate agent a coffee from Starbucks, whether they like it or not. Just go to the front desk and just say, hey, this is for Joe. I bring him coffee. I'm bringing him every day. Eventually, he's going to say, you know what, kid? Come in the office. What are you doing? Why are you bringing me Starbucks every single day? It's like, I just want to learn from you. I just want to do what you do. I just want to be what you be. And I guarantee you, if you add value in their life, they will open up the keys to the kingdom for you, because you are doing something for someone else. I never look for someone to do something for you. When you meet somebody, that's what I do. Every time I meet someone of prominence, I say, God, please show me that I can encourage them, love them, and add value in their life, and let them see that I don't need nothing from them, that I have God. And then you want to know what God does in turns? He opens up their heart. And because that's not my intention, if they end up deciding, say, I don't want nothing to do with that, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But then what they end up doing is God ends up putting on their heart my name and my thoughts. And I know in life, that's why I believe discipline is so important, because I know for a fact how much we binge watch on Netflix, how much we watch YouTube, how much we watch the news, whatever it is, how much we're on Instagram, that if you would just trade 2 hours of that a day or 1 hour a day for the things that you're passionate about or you want to grow in life, forget about it. You're going to see so much growth in your life, because now you have no more wasted time.
Sure.
And I encourage you to do that in being disciplined in your workplace. And no matter what it is, no matter if this the position you're in is like, well, this isn't where I want to be. I actually want to be over here. Well, the only way you're going to get there is by being disciplined, is by blessing them. If you want to be an entrepreneur and own your business and you're working for someone who owns the business, bless them, because one day you're going to have an employee who works for you too, and you're going to want the best out of them. So right now, be an employee who gives the best. And that's the way I view it. You know, every person that I work with, even with like my dad, who's our senior pastor, he's our boss. I think to myself, how can I make his life easier? Not how can he give me this? How can I get, but what is he stressed out? And how can I play a part in relieving that stress?
Absolutely.
I think that's a discipline, you know?
Absolutely.
All right. So just what I didn't want to do, I'm going to cut it off right there. There's so much more that can be said, but I don't want a long podcast, because I want to be able to have something that you can share with somebody that doesn't look daunting when they look at it like it's super long or anything like that. But if you've gotten this far, thank you so much for tuning in with us. Pastor Nathan, what do you have to leave us with right now?
Well, first, thanks for having me on. You know, it really is an honor. Although you're my brother, I respect what you're doing here at Abundant, but also for the community. And I think this is an amazing thing that you're trying to do, is just being real as a pastor, as a leader, as an entrepreneur. But at the end of the day, I know your heart is to encourage someone. And that's what this is all about. So I'll just end it with this, that I encourage anyone listening that no matter what discipline you're trying to have in whatever area, you are able to do it. And so don't be discouraged. And so if you need better discipline as a husband, you're able to do it, but it's going to take some of the steps that we talked about today. It's going to take being intentional. It's going to take being prepared and being planned. But like for me, I'm trying my best to be better disciplined in my eating and my health, and having someone like our father as our example. He's in our life, but I still struggle with it. But I try not to beat myself up and know even just the little changes, going to the new Whole Foods 360 or whatever it may be, buying organic, it's steps that I'm trying to do to be disciplined within that area. So I think if we take it day by day, step by step, we'll eventually get in that place where we desire to be as a disciplined individual. So it's an honor being here. And
And as we leave you today, we just want you to know, if you ever feel like nobody believes in you, nobody's in your corner, I want you to genuinely know that we are, that the whole reason why we're doing this is so that you can walk away with tools to be encouraged, to know that we are for you. And more than that, God is for you, and that we're praying his favor and hand over your life. And also, if you've enjoyed this and you really feel like this has been encouraging you, I just ask you, go ahead, share it. Put in a text message with a group of friends, or share it online or anything like that. You can find all the different variations, whether someone has Android or Apple. And also, whatever platform you are listening to, please leave a review if that's been encouraging you. And we would love to hear how God is blessing you through Dominion Podcast. So we will see you next week. I'm going to be having my wife back on. We're going to be talking about, we're going to be doing actually probably in our living room, and have a conversation on looking for the right person to date, spouse, or even if you're married already. Again, kind of some of the things we talked about today. What are some things you can do to better love your spouse? And what are some things you could look for if you're looking for a spouse? So tune in next week. Hope you guys have a blessed week. See you later.